Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Brittany MG Beltran. And it says, I love you girls so much. I even got my husband to listen to some of the episodes with me. I also religiously use other words instead of cussing, and my go-to is stinkers. I don't know why, and hearing you use it made me actually cackle. Also, have y'all considered reviewing Wattpad stories? They are so cringe and amazing all at the same time. That does sound fun, I will say.
That does sound very fun. Shelby and Jenna, Patreon idea.
We actually did do a demo of a Wattpad story, and it was crazy.
It was crazy.
I want to hear it.
I have the recording on my laptop. I'll send it to you.
I do want to hear it.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Do you know what this episode is?
What?
It's our 100th episode.
Yay! Yay! 100 episodes. Crazy.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Smut by Karina Halle. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3.5. It was fun. It wasn't my favorite rom-com that I've ever read, but I like the idea of it, I guess. I wish the dialogue was a little bit different.
Okay.
I feel like I can't rate this only because it's so polar opposite than the books that I've been reading. Like, I just read the craziest, darkest book that I feel like it's not fair for me to rate it because it's just not what I'm in the mood for right now. So maybe when I'm in a lighthearted, cutesy mood, I'll reread it and it'll be a different rating. It was good. I just feel like I can't rate it.
Wasn't freaky enough for you, Jenna.
No, this shit was vanilla as fuck.
I gave it a 3.5. It was a nice palate cleanser after last week's episode. Red Rabbit was rough, so we needed this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was cutesy.
So we're going to start the story off in the prologue. It's New Year's Eve, and 21-year-old Amanda is about to be proposed to by her prestigious boyfriend, Alan Kingston, of 4 years. And he sings her a whole ass song in front of everyone. He gets down on one knee, and she's never had an easier answer. No.
Oh. Ick.
Absolute ick. She is absolutely distraught that she's just like about to ruin her life and his, and she vomits everywhere, all over him, after saying no, and then she just runs away crying.
That poor guy.
He threw a whole party, too.
Oh my God. Whenever I see people that like say no to big proposals like that, I'm like, how did you not know? How?
Just say yes and break it off later.
Yeah. Yeah. Say yes in front of everyone and then behind closed doors be like, hey, never mind.
It was both of their friends and families at like a nice venue.
And he's hella rich.
Oh my God. Why'd you say no?
The spark wasn't there.
It's 3 months later, and after Amanda turned down the proposal, she, of course, moved out of her apartment she was sharing with him. And instead of moving back in with her overbearing parents, she got a space with a 44-year-old divorcee named Anna, who put out an ad on Craigslist looking for a roommate. And since she's moved in, they've become quick friends. They're a short distance away from Amanda's college, University of Victoria, where she's studying to become an author. Amanda gets to class and sees her classmate Allie running away upset. And when Amanda gets to the class doors, she asks her friend Rio what's going on, and Rio says that she went up to Blake, said something, and then took off. Blake Crawford is gorgeous. He's a known sex god, fuck boy, and Amanda cannot stand him.
I hate men like that too.
He's British.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Isn't it? Blake is tall and lean with just the right amount of muscle, thick dark hair that's always a bit rumpled, and deep blue eyes that sometimes seem black. You know, the kind of looks that most girls want.
So hot. In class, they get their final assignment that's worth a huge chunk of their grade. The assignment is a 30,000-word novella with a partner who will be chosen for them by the professor. And Amanda gets paired with none other than Blake Crawford.
Aw, man.
Later at home, Amanda emails Blake with an outline on how she thinks the writing assignment should go. If they get together this weekend and come together with the main plot and implementation of their story, they can probably complete the assignment separately. Like, she wants nothing to do with him.
Fair.
Blake is completely aware that Amanda hates his guts, Regardless of what she may think or say, Blake is much smarter than he leads on to be. He can decipher body language very well. The body language that comes off of Amanda lets him know that she wants absolutely nothing to do with him. Blake has some home life drama going on. He doesn't get along well with his father, and his mother's too busy with work to pay him any mind. He's become a staple big brother to his 9-year-old brother, Kevin, and he has to like routinely pick him up from school and take care of him because both of their parents are too busy. We find out that Blake is a business major, and he has plans to take over his father's business one day, which is owning the bookstore in town.
Oh, cute.
The bookstore does well, but not well enough because Blake's father is a literary snob and won't even allow 50 Shades of Grey to be in the bookstore because he believes that smut will lower their standards.
Ew. But also, I mean, like, yeah, 50 Shades of Grey is not that good, but...
I just watched it yesterday. Take that back.
No. I will say I did fuck with the movies when they came out. I did.
I ate those books up.
Yeah.
Did you? They're kind of corny.
Yeah.
I remember I went to go see the first one in theaters, but when I picked the seats, I misunderstood the little graph when you have to pick online. So I picked the very first row, like the closest to the screen, but it was a curved screen. So it made their heads look really big and their bodies really small.
What an experience.
Yeah, the nudity was fun.
Blake is at the bar later with his bestie Heath, and he vents to him about how he's been paired with stuck-up Amanda. They decide to draft a response email to her, and then bestie Heath sends it. Amanda's going about her day. She's got some tea on Anna's date, and she decided to clear her head and go for a run. She goes miles more than she normally does, and when she's stretching about to turn around, she runs into none other than Blake. Blake is carrying a tote from Crawford's Books, and she's gagged when she realizes that his family owns her favorite bookstore in town.
I mean, Blake Crawford, Crawford Books.
You would have never thought. He asks her if she got his email. She easily lied and says, yep, let's get this project over with. Since she didn't actually read his email, she confirmed where they're to meet. It's tonight at the library at 7 p.m. And Blake is looking at her like he's appraising her. She's running back home when she pulls up Blake's email, and his email basically is like a stupid drunk boy email. He calls her a know-it-all and a square, and maybe she should bring duct tape. He knows that she's too prudish to be tied up, but maybe he can use it on her mouth when she starts babbling on about the project.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, yes, she didn't read the email yet when he saw her, but he's just like nonchalantly, hey, you get my email?
Yeah, he's like shaking in his boots about it because he immediately regretted it. And so he's like, hey, did you get my email? And she's like, yeah. And he's like,
okay.
And you're not hitting me in the face. So
all right, cool, know-it-all.
Cool.
When she's done reading the email, she's fucking pissed. It's later. Amanda's in the library on the second floor, all the way tucked in the back. And she's, of course, early for their meeting. So she decides to kill time by doing some research on her own personal novel that she's writing. It's called The Land of Tears and Bone. Blake arrives to the library 30 minutes early because he doesn't want to feel like he's late even when he's on time. He picks a table right in the front of the doors, but when it's 7 p.m. and she's still not there, he's like, what the fuck? Like, has she planned to stand me up and go straight to the dean with my email? Like, use it as leverage? He decides to do one look around the library before he leaves, and he finds her writing away on her secluded table. He goes up to her and she tells him before he sits down, he owes her an apology and an explanation. Instead of doing either, he asks why she hates him so much. And our girl came with receipts. She's like, you're a pig. You're an asshole. You didn't help me when all my shit fell in front of you. And you watched my ask when I bent down to pick it up. Like, you're just disgusting.
A dog.
Once they hash it out, he takes his seat next to her. He goes as far as opening up about how even though he's a business major, this writing class is the only thing he's pretty much chosen for himself, and he does want to try to work together to complete this project successfully. She introduces the idea of them doing as little as possible, like she said in her email, and he was like, no, we're doing this right. I don't want you to throw it in my face saying that I didn't pull my weight or we didn't work together, so you're stuck spending time with me.
Which, like, I get that.
They plot their book outline, basing it off of the theme of betrayal. A man who ends his affair with another woman in order to make his marriage work, only to catch his wife cheating on him.
Good, he deserved it.
Okay, Freda McFadden.
Their meeting went surprisingly well, and Amanda even has a playful tone for a second.
Too bad I still have to deal with Amanda during this whole process. And it's too bad that when I'm jerking off in bed later that night, the image that pops into my head is her wet ruby lips around my cock. I come so hard at that. It takes me a few moments to catch my breath. The room's spinning. Looks like the next month is going to be hell after all. I don't think so.
He wants a blowy. It's the next day, and Amanda's roommate, Anna, calls her out for wanting to have sex with Blake. And as much as she denies it, Anna can see right through her and knows that she wants to bang him. It's Sunday now, and Amanda completed her chapter, but wants to go over it with Blake before class tomorrow so they have everything prepared. She shoots him an email asking when before class they can meet up to make sure the story's fitting together. Anna is in cosmetology school, and she is currently giving Amanda a makeover with the new techniques she's learned when her phone rings and it's an unknown number. It's Blake, and he's like, hey, when are you free? She tells him in about an hour and a half because she's currently getting a makeover, and he asks for her address so he can pick her up and they can go somewhere to do their work. There's a knocking at her door, and Amanda and Anna lost track of time. Amanda wanted to have extra moments to wash off her makeup before Blake came, but no can do now. He's already here.
Oh, he's going to be like, wow, she's really hot.
No, Anna's a really bad makeup artist.
Oh, okay. I want to have 1 week living with Anna because yeah. I think it would be very interesting.
I think she's a Russian lady, too. She just sounds very fun.
Oh, okay.
And she goes on like all these bad dates and then like tells Amanda about them. And one of them was like, he tried to pimp her out and the cops had to like stop him and be like, hey, and like arrest him. She's like, yeah, it was a great date,
no biggie.
She's like, dinner was really good though. She's just so funny. Amanda goes to open the door and he tells her makeup looks good on her. It looks like she's already ready. She runs to the bathroom before leaving and she is stunned by her appearance. She has not blended contour on her cheeks and nose, crazy blush, crazy eye makeup, and her eyebrows have been whited over with concealer, and Anna drew on her eyebrows that are thick arches.
I'm pretty sure he thinks that looks good because that's how British people do their makeup.
He's like, oh, you look like a chav.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to our British listeners. You're beautiful.
We love you. She also has fake eyelashes that make her look like she's looking in different directions because they're like crooked on her eyes.
What is that song where it's like M to the B, M to the B?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those girls.
Yeah. I can see him now.
When Anna asks if she likes her makeup, she sounded so hopeful and there's no way Amanda could wash it off and see Anna feel bad. When Amanda and Blake head out, Blake's like, are you sure you want to go out to a cafe like this? And she's like, fuck no, there's no way I'm going out in public. So ultimately they decide to head back to his apartment. Plus, he has to feed Fluffy.
His kitty.
Yeah, his cat.
They pull up to Blake's very nice apartment, and Amanda is stunned by the house's beauty. They set up on the leather couch, and he opens up to her, telling her he can't actually afford this place. This condo is his stepmom's, and he basically pays for it by working at the bookstore for free, because they can't afford to hire any help.
Oh.
They get to work and Amanda reads him her part. And when he reads her his, she's speechless by how good the prologue actually is. Even though it does use the word cock 4 times too many.
Oh.
She goes to his bathroom to take all the makeup off her face when she hears a thud and then a scream. She goes to investigate and walks into the room that has the open door and sees Blake standing in the room with a large empty aquarium.
What?
When she asks if he's okay, he tells her it's just that Fluffy scared the shit out of him. And it turns out that Fluffy's a huge-ass fucking tarantula that Blake is terrified of.
They are kind of cute, in my opinion. They are cute. Would I want one in my home? Mm-mm.
Amanda says, hell no, and she runs out of the room. He tells her Fluffy was originally his little stepbrother Kevin's, and he kept getting out at Kevin's house, and his stepmom told him that he had to get rid of Fluffy. Kevin was absolutely heartbroken and distraught, so he told him that he could stay at his house until their stepmom Angelica has a change of heart. They have a little tiff over how he's a man whore who has slept with half the class, but not her, because she's not an idiot, and she just knows who she wants and what she needs.
Will you listen to that? The all-powerful Oz has just admitted that she needs things from time to time. I thought you'd be entirely self-sufficient. Oh, I am. I shoot back. You should see my vibrator collection. His eyes widen, and I refrain from clamping my hand over my mouth. I've said too much. Way, way too much. Yeah, girl.
Why would you say that?
Why would you even bring it up?
You should see my vibrators and maybe use them on me. I don't know.
Never mind, you're gross.
She tells him off after he assumes she must be a lesbian since she doesn't want or need a man, and they finally decide to call it a truce after they were going back and forth. They complete their project for the night, and as she leaves, she finds out a little more about his sexual escapades, and she can't help but to think if only he took his life as serious as his sex life as she drives away. Blake is out with Heath, but he's not really present because their assignment is living rent-free in his head. They decided to name their novella The Heart Thief, and even at work, he can't help but to work on it, and he's been even more personable with customers to try to pick their brain on why they're drawn to the books that they're choosing. Not only does his assignment have most of his attention, Amanda does too. She's like an enigma to him, and he really enjoys the time that they're spending together. Heath and his two friends are going to the cabin this weekend to go surfing. They do it, I guess, yearly, but Blake passes this time because he has plans with Amanda. As they're at the bar, Heath leaves him, and Blake is met with a scorned lover. He was obviously a huge fuckboy to her because she put Nair in his conditioner as a form of payback. He washed it out right away, and he still has his beautiful locks.
Nice.
She bets he can't even remember her name and tells him to say her name or she's spilling this beer all over him. He, of course, gets it wrong, and he's met with a beer shower. It's Sunday, and he has plans to meet Amanda tonight. During the day, he heads to his dad's house to babysit Kevin, and he finds out while babysitting Kevin that his parents are getting a divorce, and Kevin is really distraught about this. So he asks him to stay for dinner. He reluctantly agrees, but has to make a phone call first. When he calls Amanda, she jumps to the conclusion that he's canceling because he has a hot date. And she tells him that Rio saw him with two blondes at the bar. And instead of correcting her, he just lets her assume and judge him. And he's like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'd rather have a threesome than get our work done. And she ends the call by telling him to go fuck himself.
Oh my God, guys, come on.
Amanda's at a tapas bar with Rio thinking about how much Blake sucks and how she's actually starting to enjoy his company. Rio tells him that it was Blake's friend hitting on the waitress at the bar and Blake just sat there watching. And now she's super confused, but Rio just tells her that she lied because Blake is a fuckboy regardless and they're better off alone together drinking at a tapas bar and complaining about men. So I don't really understand her motivation for lying about it, but she did. But she admitted it, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, at least she admitted it. But like, you're making her be a real cunt to him.
Yeah.
After a few drinks, she leaves Rio there because Rio wants to hang out with a couple of her ex-boyfriends, and she gets a cab home alone. The next day at school, Blake runs into Amanda and tells her he's sorry for bailing on her, but it wasn't for a girl. He just lied because it's what she expected from him. He explains that the real reason he bailed is because his parents are getting divorced, so he has to deal with some family shit, but he would much rather be working on the novella with her, and she tells him that she accepts his apology.
Bitch, you should apologize too. Right?
Yeah, she should.
My groveling isn't complete, you know, he says to me. Well, you haven't gotten down on your knees, I muse jokingly, tapping my fingers against my chin. Darling, when I get down on my knees, I'll be paying it back in a different way, he says, and I swear there's a change in his tone. Like his voice got deeper, his accent huskier. Don't even picture it. I warn myself.
She wants him.
Darling, when I get down on my knees.
He asks if he can take her to dinner after class, but she says no. But she says she'll do drinks, so he's like, okay, fine. He takes her to a pub she's never been to, and he asks her to tell him something about her that he wouldn't know, and she tells him she likes her drinks with vinegar in them, which is foul.
Yeah. Crazy girl.
And he tells her about a place in New York City that serves every drink with a pickleback, which, delightful.
I do love picklebacks.
I just love pickles.
Oh, pickles. Who doesn't love a pickle? She asks who he'd been there with, and he says an ex about a year ago. They have some flirty banter, and when the sexual tension gets too thick for Amanda's liking, they start working on their story. They order food and a few more drinks, and she's starting to feel a little bit buzzy. She tries to press him about his ex, but all he'll tell her is that her name is Rachel, and he really doesn't think about her much anymore. She tells him about Alan, who's her ex, and how he was nice and all, but ultimately not for her, and she turned down his proposal in the most mortifying way possible. He thinks the story is hella funny, though, and tells her that she's better off.
He said, you're better off with me.
Yeah.
April comes, and their manuscript is complete. They turn it into their professor, and Blake is feeling kind of bummed about their time together coming to an end. They say their goodbyes after class, and he tells her to come by the bookstore, and he'll give her a discount. The professor catches Blake before he leaves and tells him how good their story is so far and how he has a real future in writing, not like those self-published erotica writers just looking to make a quick buck, and how she knew him and Amanda would write something wonderful together. But now all Blake is thinking about is making a quick buck by self-publishing erotica, and he gets an idea and runs to find Amanda in the parking lot.
Amanda doesn't need to be involved. Our partnership is over. Besides, erotica, she's the least erotic person I know. Unless she has some dirty, kinky side hidden deep within. One her ex-boyfriend never let her indulge in. This could bring it out. I could bring it out. I could fuck her.
He works a shift at the bookstore, and after his father leaves, he checks out the book charts on the Kindle store, and he sees a ton of it is erotica. He does some research on the authors and sees the good ones are making hundreds of thousands of dollars by writing these stories. And he's determined to write the hottest, most clit-throbbing romance book anyone has ever seen, and decides to continue the research by downloading some of the most popular books on the Kindle app to read later. After he's read a few, he's confident that he can write one himself. He can write sex just fine, but for the emotional and romantic aspect, he knows he needs Amanda. Meanwhile, Amanda is working on her high fantasy novel, but she's going through a crazy case of writer's block. She decides to have a little day drinking sesh with Anna when Blake calls and asks if she's busy. She tells him she's getting her day drink on, and he asks to hang, but she turns him down, telling him their time together is done.
Pookie, no.
Come on.
But then he tells her he has an idea and it involves them getting rich. She asks what the hell he's talking about and he's like, I'll pick you up in 30 minutes.
I'd be like, I'm scared. What is this about?
She goes outside when he gets there and sees him analyzing the flowers and she's like, what the hell are you doing? And he said he's studying the bees to write a believable race of aliens who live in a colony just like the bees do. And she's like, you're writing a sci-fi? And he says, I'm writing a sci-fi horror, and I've been writing it since I was a kid. She tells him about her work in progress, and they kind of bond a little bit over their writer's block. They go back to the pub from earlier, and after a few drinks, he tells her about his proposition for her. He says they'll write using a pen name, and then maybe after they make it big, they'll be able to publish their respective books and make it legit as real authors after the smut. She's not into it, but he's like, please, just one short story. The dirtiest, kinkiest, nastiest story we can write together, and if you hate it, we'll be done. And besides, he needs her for the romance. You can't have sex without love.
I'm not saying it's true in real life, but I've done my research, and when it comes to romance novels, it's needed. No matter how dirty or nasty it gets. If it's a stepbrother screwing his stepsister, I wrinkle my nose at that. Or a teacher finger-banging his student during class, there has to be love or it doesn't work. If you don't deliver the happily ever after, it doesn't matter how many holes get filled or how many orgasms she has.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
We need an HEA.
He pulls his laptop right out and sends her a business proposal and tells her he's serious and he's doing this legit. She says she'll look it over and have an answer for him tomorrow. They have a cute little knot date and make up ridiculous hypothetical pen names that they obviously won't be using. And he's proposing stuff like Seymour Butts.
Hey, clever.
She goes home and looks over the proposal and realizes this is actually a good idea, so she tells him she's in. She starts to do some research by reading a stepmom erotica on her Kindle.
After she spies on him in the shower, he corners her and, well, I hate to admit it, but I was feeling a bit swollen with need myself by the time he was done pounding her against the wall. Using pumice against her nipples and a bar of soap between her legs, her clit must have been sparkling clean. I'm sorry, excuse me? That sounds like a fucking nightmare. Pumice on your nipples?
Yeah.
No, that's for your rough and gruff feet.
Rough and gruff? Later on, Blake comes to pick her up from her apartment, and in the car, they decide on a pen name, Blake Lovecox.
Okay, Blake loves Cox?
No, Blake Lovecox.
I know, but doesn't he see how that sounds?
He thinks it's funny.
Because he's Blake, right? He's Blake, and Amanda loves Cox.
Okay.
So together they are Blake Lovecox.
Okay.
They brainstorm book ideas and they decide they want to write a story called Falling for the Secret Male Stripper.
What a story.
We would totally read that.
100% I would read that. Yeah.
Ford Titan is a nerdy high school teacher by day, a male stripper at night. When his 18-year-old barely legal student Shasta Black discovers this and threatens to tell the school, the two of them make a deal, a sexual one.
Wow. They get together every night for a week to work on it, and it's leaving Blake with a crazy case of blue balls. And he's not even hooking up with random girls anymore because he'd rather hang out with Amanda. And he knows that she leaves their sessions wet and aching too. One day while he's working at the bookstore, his dad tells him that since he's getting divorced, he's potentially moving, which would make it so his little brother would have to change schools. He's asked to go to dinner tonight, but he wants to see Amanda. But he tells his little brother that he'll take him LARPing.
Okay.
Because his brother's a huge nerd. So to make it up to his little brother, they're going to go LARPing. Right. And Kevin wants Amanda to come too. Blake is like, well, Amanda is a nerd, so she'd probably be down. And Amanda hasn't met his family. He just has spoken about her.
And Kevin says, bring her over.
Yeah.
Okay.
He heads to Amanda's to write, and while they're talking about the logistics of sex scenes for their story, she tells him that Alan was a vanilla-ass bitch who never wanted to do anything but missionary in their bed. She tells him that this whole book is basically sex, and the writing is a little bit repetitive, so he's like, okay, fine, help me with my writer's block and get on the bed. Because he wants to, like, figure out the logistics of the positions and such.
Okay.
He crawls between her legs and talks through the positioning in a super sexy way so the story will flow more realistically. Amanda starts to get into it too, and now Blake is like, wait, is this for real now? And he starts doing the things that he's talking about for the story.
Oh my god. She arches her back slightly, her eyes still pinched shut, but she's breathing harder, enjoying this. I press myself against her leg and she lets out a small gasp. I lower my mouth to her ear. He presses his rock-hard cock against her hip so she knows exactly what she's doing to him. I pause, then whisper how hard it is to hold it together, how badly he wants to come inside her, to feel her from the inside out. I press my erection into her harder, sucking in my breath. Shit, it really is hard to hold it together. I close my eyes and let out a soft grunt that only makes her press herself into me in response.
Fuck.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
It starts to get hot and heavy, and he kisses her neck, and then her mouth, and then pulls a boob out of her shirt so he can lick and suck at her nipple. She says she wants this, and then Anna comes barging into the apartment, instantly killing the mood.
Boo.
Boo, Anna. Amanda shuts down, so Blake is like, you ladies have a good night. I'm gonna skedaddle.
I'm gonna go jerk it at home.
Yeah.
That night, Amanda can hardly sleep because she knows writing this erotica will lead to sex. But Blake isn't the type of guy to be satisfied with only her, and now she doesn't know what to do. The next day, she has lunch with her family, who berates her for wanting to be a writer and breaking up with Alan, even though it was the safe choice for her. They tell her the moment she graduates next year, she will be getting a real job. And also, Alan already has a new girlfriend, and she's a genetic scientist, and if she doesn't shape up and grow up, they'll stop paying her tuition.
All right, fuck you, mom and dad.
Yeah, her mom is like, get Alan back or get another wealthy boyfriend.
Well, too bad, mom. I just found myself a poor one.
Yeah. And now she's absolutely pissed. They finish their awkward lunch, and then she goes home. She calls Blake and tells him they're going to write at the library tonight because sex complicates things, so they should probably stick to public spaces. When they meet, they start finishing up their last chapters, but Amanda can't figure out a new word for cock and asks Blake for help, and he's like, want me to whip mine out?
I'd say, yeah, do it.
Do it right now, here in the library.
Whip it out. Catch a charge. No, I glare at him. His dimples deepen. Are you sure? I'd think if you were writing about a thick, veiny cock, it would help to see one. Yes, it would. Keep it in your pants. I pause, trying to keep my eyes off his crotch. Wait, are you saying you're hard right now? He scratches at the scruff on his chin, eyes dancing. Pretty much, considering what I'm writing, just say the word cock again. Boys are so easy.
They really are.
He's like, I could come right now.
Yeah, I'll come in my pants.
Say pussy, I'll come.
She decides she needs some space because she's feeling all flushed and browses the fantasy section while Blake finishes up his writing. As she's perusing the shelves, she feels a hard presence at her back. It's Blake. He kisses her neck and puts one hand under her shirt and runs the other up her skirt, and she's not wearing any panties.
Girl. Also, if I just felt him at my back, like, I'm assuming hard at his penis is right there. Sir, are we fucking right now? But also hot. I feel him drop to his knees behind me, his hands running along my ass, squeezing and kneading until they slip under my skirt and gently tease the bottom curve where my cheeks meet my thighs. I stiffen, my skin so fucking sensitive, like a hair trigger. Yet I'm wanting more, afraid for more, knowing that things are moving so fast and needing them to move faster. Patience, he whispers. His voice choked as his fingers slide between my legs. Do you realize how wet you are? I do now. Slowly, deliberately, he drags his long fingers over my my clit, and I gasp as the bundle of nerves threaten to shatter me. God, you're like silk, he murmurs, groaning. So perfect. He presses the rough pad of his finger over the swell and makes a small circle over and over again.
Uh-huh, in the library.
Naughty.
Then he spreads her cheeks and starts eating her out from behind, and now she's literally dripping down her own thighs. She comes harder than she ever has in her life and has to bite down on a book to not get them both caught. When she turns around, Blake's pants and boxers are all the way down to his ankles, and he's about to put a condom on, and his dick is the biggest one she's ever seen.
He ain't a man slut for nothing.
But down to his ankles in the library?
That's insane. He was
ready.
You're pretty presumptuous. He grins at me and comes forward, pinning me back against the shelves. We can quit for today, he whispers against my throat before nipping it between his teeth. But I felt you squeeze my tongue as you came, like you were milking it. My cock is jealous. He looks up behind my ear and groans. Don't you want to feel me deep inside you? How hard and thick I am, stretching you, making you full? Yes, I pant, my head going back. Do it.
He picks her up and slides her down onto him, and when he's inside her, he tells her this is even better than he imagined. They fuck, and it's so much better than Amanda thought it would be. They both come, and when he sets her down, a bunch of books gets knocked over, and they hear a voice saying, "Hey, what's going on over there?" He pulls up his pants with the condom still on and says they've got to get out of here, stat. But they aren't fast enough, and the librarian literally chases them as they grab their shit and book it to his car.
They can never return.
No.
And she loves the library.
Shoot.
He tells her they're going to his place because he isn't done with her yet. Once they get to his place, they immediately take it to the bedroom and strip down. He settles down on top of her, and as she's getting ready to slide it in again, he realizes this actually means something to him.
I make a fist around my rigid shaft and position it at her entrance. Her eyes flutter open as I slowly rub my swollen head up and down her silky cleft. Oh my god, I'm taken aback. Taking my time to tease her, to tease myself. Keep it together, Crawford, I tell myself. Go slow. It's the hardest thing. Every nerve in my body is ready to slam into her sweet depths and fuck her until we're off the bed. It takes all my strength to slowly ease my way inside her. She's so hot and wet as I slowly push my way in that I begin to shake. I pause and take in a deep, wavering breath before I continue. Silky cleft.
Yeah, that's a new one.
That is a new one.
He fucks her slowly until they both come, and when they're both laying together in the afterglow, he tells her they aren't finished yet, but they need to get food first. They sit in the kitchen together eating pizza, and then Amanda's eyes widen as she looks behind Blake. Fluffy is loose.
No.
They both scream and run out of the room, but know that they have to trap and capture this thing. Blake winds up getting Fluffy onto a magazine and carries him while internally screaming as he places the spider back into his tank, making sure the lid is for sure closed this time. Then he realizes he did all of that butt ass naked. Even still, Amanda is already leading him right back to the bedroom for the next round.
Goodness.
The next morning, she wakes up snuggled with Blake, and he lets her go so she can use the restroom. While she's in there, she's debating what to say to him. When she finishes, there's a knock at the door. She opens it to a still nude Blake.
I open the door, and he's standing there completely nude, his dick looking spectacular, even semi-hard. More images from last night flood my brain, and I'm surprised at how fast I'm turning into a horny perv at the sight of a half-hard peen.
Peen!
He uses the restroom, and once he's finished, they hop in the shower together. She washes him and then tells him to rinse off the soap. Once he's done doing what he's told, she gets on her knees and gives him a blowy.
My fist moves faster, slick and wet over his hot length, and my free hand moves up his legs until they find his perfectly groomed balls. I tug lightly, testing him. Fuck! He cries out hoarsely. I'm coming. I try not to smile, knowing now what triggers him. His cock becomes hotter, his skin stretched under my lips, and I keep going as I feel him change in my grasp.
Huh.
He likes his balls touched.
He does.
His perfectly groomed balls.
Yeah, he's a man whore. He's got a manscape.
I'm so sorry. TMI really quick.
Tell it.
Last week, I did something for Tyler.
Oh, what'd you do?
I just gave him a blowjob.
Okay.
I don't know, like, what porno he was watching the day before or whatever, but he goes, "Lick my balls, bitch." And I was like, no.
Did you stop?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't like that.
Yeah, bitch.
You're like, man, I'll lick him, but whoa.
Call me princess or something, damn.
Lick my balls, bitch.
It was so aggressive.
That's so funny.
Staying in the episode.
That's fine. They finish showering, and then he goes to the bookstore so Blake can start his shift. She goes with him just for a moment, and she ends up meeting his dad and Kevin. Kevin is happy to know that she actually exists, and he's so excited to meet Blake's girlfriend.
Oh.
They have not had the BFGF talk, though, so she's like, what?
It's a, okay, yep, yeah, this is my boyfriend.
And then Kevin proceeds to tell Amanda all about the fact that her and Blake are taking him to go LARPing, which she had no idea about.
Oh, yeah.
She gets really awkward and tells them that it was nice to meet them, but she has to leave. As she's leaving, Blake catches her outside and apologizes for not having the chance to mention the whole girlfriend and volunteer LARPing thing. He says that he couldn't mention the writing to his dad, and besides, they're only fucking and writing, which should be fine, so it's not a big deal that he called her his girlfriend. She is hurt by him saying this, but she says, yep, writing's the priority, and then they both agree and she leaves. Over the next couple weeks, they fuck and they finish the book, and Blake can tell that she's withdrawn and not all there, but he doesn't push it. They hit upload to Amazon, and the book is now live for purchase. They sit there refreshing the page over and over again, wondering why they have zero hits yet. And I just was like, it doesn't work that fast.
It just came out. You gotta promote it.
After a few stressful minutes, he tells her that they're gonna go get drinks to get their mind off of this. A few drinks turns into them blacking out, and when they wake up around noon the next day, she rushes to the computer and sees that there are 1,000 sales and their book is number 80 out of 100 for best-selling Amazon books.
Oh, shit.
It's now been 3 days after the book went live, and they're still having plenty of sex, and they're starting to brainstorm for their next book. They're having a harder time with the second book, though, because they can't stop having sex.
What a predicament.
I know.
She decides that maybe a week in away will do the trick to help the writer's block, but she doesn't want to go without him. She invites him to her family cabin, but he doesn't text her back right away. She gets really nervous about this and tells Anna what's going on, and Anna says this is way more than just writing books together, and going away together might complicate things further. Just as Anna finishes telling her this, he texts Amanda back and says that he's in to go out for the weekend. When Friday comes around, he picks her up. He's late, and she could tell something's up. They get in his car, and once they arrive on the ferry, he proceeds to slide his hand up her shorts with people around and tells her no one's gonna notice.
He leans over a fraction more, his hand slipping down into my underwear, down into my cleft. Surprise, surprise, I'm wet as hell already. That's a good girl, he murmurs, his languid eyes taking me in, watching me, as he glides over me, his fingers long, hard, slick. Cleft! There she is again.
He fingers her until she comes, and it's right on time because the ferry is docking on the island. As they drive to the cabin, he can't help but think that he might only want to be with her, and that makes him really nervous, but she's all he can think about. When they get there, the first thing they do is
have sex. Fuck.
Yeah. As Blake comes, he can't help but feel that he's falling head over heels for Amanda. They're off the island now, their writer's block is healed, and she thinks something between their dynamic has shifted, but she doesn't want to voice it because she is really scared of it.
That's fair.
She's out for drinks with Rio, working up the courage to tell her about sleeping with Blake when the girls see him walking in with someone. Rio calls them over, and Amanda's mortified. The person that he's with is Heath, and Heath pieces together that this is the Amanda that Blake had to do the school project with, and tells her Blake called her a stuck-up bitch. But she says, yeah, that's old news. I already know he thought that of me. The night goes smoothly while everyone hangs out and has drinks. Blake slips to the restroom and Amanda follows and they have restroom sex. And I put, gross. So many germs.
That is a lot of germs.
If you're horny, you're horny though.
But you can't go out to like the car.
Yeah, I've done like car parking lot sex at the
bar.
That's
fine.
I've never done public restroom.
No.
No. People shit there.
Yeah.
People blast those toilets. They paint those bowls.
Yeah, I've done it. I've blasted them.
Once the guys leave for the night, Rio calls her out on them fucking, and she tries to say, we're just friends with benefits. But Rio's like, no, you're not.
You're in love.
Blake and Heath also have a little heart-to-heart, and Heath tells him that the two really need to talk about what they're feeling because he knows that it's not just sex for them. Blake knows he's right. The next morning, he wonders how he should bring everything up with Amanda when his phone rings. It's his ex, Rachel, and she wants him back.
No.
Fucking whore.
Yeah.
His mind is all fucked up now, and then Amanda calls, inviting him as her date to an engagement party for an old friend. He says that he will pick her up at 7. When he picks her up, he thinks that she looks like a goddess, and she admits on the drive there that Alan will be there with his super smart new girlfriend, and he's pretty annoyed about this because he feels like he got played, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
He tells her that she doesn't need Alan's approval when she's a best-selling author and has him. And then he admits that Rachel called him. She asks if he's going to take Rachel back, and he says no, he met someone else. And she's like, oh. And he says, you, I want to be with you.
Ah, do it.
Will you be my girlfriend? She agrees, and they walk into the party. Blake and Alan meet, and it doesn't go over great because Alan is a pompous ass, but then her and Blake get drunk, and she completely blacks out. In the morning, she's incredibly hungover, and he takes care of her. He leaves to go get his car from the winery when she gets a text asking if she really wrote those smut books. She's very confused, but apparently last night, Blake told Alan and his new girlfriend, Georgia, that she is a best-selling author of smut books, and now it's blasted all over Facebook.
You know what? Embrace it. Who fucking cares? Embrace it.
Well, her mom calls her and disowns her right then and there.
Oh no. Say that wasn't you.
Oh, it's too late.
Too far gone.
When Blake gets back to his apartment, she unleashes her fury on him for telling people about the books because it's supposed to be anonymous. She lets him know that he ruined everything, and now his dad probably knows now too, since a journalist has already emailed her wanting to interview them. So it hasn't even been 24 hours, and journalists are like, hey, can we get an interview with you?
Oh my goodness.
She breaks up with him and leaves. Oh. He calls and texts her nonstop with no response. He knows that he has to confront his dad, so he goes to the store and spills everything. His dad freaks out until his dad learns how much the sales from one book for a whole month were, and Blake is giving his dad half of the earnings to help the store out. And then his dad's like, oh yeah, that's fine.
Keep writing it.
I love smut.
You know what? I think I'm a wee we starting to white smut books.
Now Blake needs to fix everything with Amanda, but it's been a week of ignoring all of his calls and texts. She hasn't heard from her parents once. On her run, she runs into Kevin and his mom. He asks if she's still coming to the LARPing later, and his mom begs her to. She says okay, and she'll bring a friend. Later, her and Anna show up to the LARPing event. Anna does fantasy makeup for a bunch of people while she and Blake finally talk. They make up and have kinky nerd sex in their costumes in a tent, and they finally tell each other that they love one another. It's the epilogue 1 year later. They're at their first book signing, and her mom shows up. It's the first time she's seen her mom. She has a copy of one of their books to get signed for Aunt Sylvie.
Okay. You like smut, mom, don't you?
Yeah. Whore. Whore. She invites them to dinner, and they accept. The rest of the signing goes really well, and they're very much in love. The end.
Wow. Cutie.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I could give it 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah. It's cute.
We needed a cute one after last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. The last one was rough one.
Do you think that Blake is sexy?
Sure. Why not?
Would you trade places with Amanda?
I guess. I mean, not that I want to, but like, I wouldn't hate it if I had to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's nothing really awful or anything about her life.
Yeah.
You're a best-selling author and you're rich.
That's
true. Yeah, they're making like 30 grand a month.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Give me that bitch's life.
Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Predator by Runix. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Well, it says The Predator. And it's got like a silhouette of a man's upper half body with like a woman's lips in it, a city, a big city. And it says dark verse book one. So I think it's going to be a dark romance.
We're going to be in like a big city. New York, Seattle,
Chicago, one of them. We're going to be in a big city, okay? This man, he's going to be doing some bad stuff. Bad stuff on the streets. Maybe in a gang or a mob. No, no. Scratch that. He's working alone. And he sees this girl, our main character, Lady, and he sees her on the streets. And she needs some sort of help, and he helps her. But then their paths cross again, but he's a bad boy. She's a good girl. She's a productive member of society. But he won't leave her alone. He will not. He wants to be with her. And then they become soulmates.
That was really beautiful. Oh, you were so close in the beginning, and then you ditched it.
And then you
it.
Said, nah, never mind.
Damn it!
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right, well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom, and we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye!